In Ibn Majah, there is one hadith. Hazrat Salman radiyallahu anhu narrates this hadith that the gracious Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated that that individual is lost and devoid of rizq who commits sins due to the sin he is devoid, he loses out. In this blessed hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given a very important message to the ummah that sins or sin, what are the effects and impacts on the life of an individual? Shaytan, who is our, you can say, confirmed enemy, biggest enemy, Shaytan, the devil, he does many actions throughout our life, he's running after us, that somehow or other, these people should not escape Jahannam, hell, until the last moment, until the death comes, he keeps attacking the individual, Shaytan, that somehow or other, this individual should not go into Jannah, and he should go into hell. This is his mission, his objective, and his followers and his workers all day and night, they work on this basis and they run after the people of Iman. And his most important task is this. He knows, obviously, Shaytan, that sin is what will take a person to Jahannam. Sin, every sin, it takes a person closer to the door of hell. Every good deed, whatever size, small scale, takes a person closer to Jannah, paradise. That's the definition. So, mission of Shaytan, somehow or other, this person, he should not do an action or actions that take him closer to paradise. And somehow or other, we need to drag him towards actions. He whispers in the air, plays tricks, makes friendship with that person, creates desires, fantasies. If he does this sin or sins that take him towards hell, this is the lesson of today we need to learn and revise. That's why Allah said in the Quran Hakim, the shaitan is aduwwum mubeen. He is a very open and confirmed enemy of yours. Many places in the Quran, Allah has warned us from shaitan. Save yourself from him. What's the sign? That when a person, when shaitan advises you towards sin, friend, family member, internally your feeling, your passion, consider this is shaitan. This is shaitan. This cannot be mukhlis, this person. He cannot be my friend. This is a sugar-coated tablet. This person is feeding me this very nice, tasty tablet. Sweet, eat it. Oh, brother, take some interest. You can do great business with interest. Sood, riba. Oh, forget going to the masjid to pray salah. Let's do jama'ah here where we are. We don't have to go to the masjid. Islam's not that strict that you have to do parda, your daughter. We've come to this world. All of these falsehoods, deception. Make one solid lesson today, because this is the gathering of Islah, rectification, which has been permitted and given to us from the pious predecessors. I'm just the khadim, the servant. I was given instruction whether somebody comes or not, whether somebody sits or not. But your task, duty, is that you must on the night of Jummah, Thursday night, give dawah, invite, and speak regarding Islah, rectification. So I'm just doing my work. This is my work. The task that has been assigned to me 60, 70 years. Alhamdulillah, I'm just following that objective and that duty that's been assigned to me. So, everyone should be careful with regards to this Islahi Majlis, Majlis of Rectification Improvement. That sin, save yourself from sin. What a great and big hadith. Very big, massive hadith. And the effects of sin. Not just that it's a big sin that will give a bad impact. Shaitan's biggest enmity with us is what? That he makes all sins for us as a minor. That's his biggest trick of shaitan. He makes the scale of that sin so small, like a dot on a piece of paper, and then we won't care about it. Today, that's the reason why our society is immersed in sin. And big sins, we don't consider them a sin. For example, a common example, backbiting. Now, the punishment of backbiting, we need to analyze what Allah has mentioned in the Quran with regards to backbiting. That when a human being does backbiting, man or woman, look at the punishment. The Quran has defined the punishment. That your real brother's flesh you are devouring, you are eating your brother's flesh. Now Quran's not wrong, is it? Is the Quran wrong? Your real brother's haram flesh meat you are eating when you are doing backbiting of somebody. So any gathering today, place, outside, inside masjid, there's no place free from this. Three men sat down, free from salah, in the masjid also, and nobody saves himself from backbiting. And there's no place, no man, who has not taken all of backbiting? Then lying, let's go to lying. Lying is such a big sin. The sign of the munafiq, that there's a sign of the munafiq. If a person lies, he has one sign of nifaq, hypocrisy. How big is this sin? And it's not even benefit when you lie. Why do we lie? Somebody's rang you, a bell, bell's rang, and he says, the child at home says, he's not home. The child looked, he's here. How can I say you're not here? You're saying to me, from the young age, through the phone call, we say, oh, no, child, no, tell him I'm not home. I'm not home. Is this not our mashallah today, so I say, who's done this? Shaitan has influenced us, made the sin small scale and influenced. What are the impacts of the sin? The effects? Consequences? The consequences of the sin, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when a person commits a sin, then the biggest sin, impact due to his sin that he's committed, his risk, his wealth, his earnings, he loses out from the risk. Yes, this is the hadith, the words of the hadith. There are two types of rizq, earnings. One is spiritual rizq, one is the physical rizq in the world. We are made of two parts. One is the ruh, the spiritual food, and one is the physical food. So both are mentioned here. The eating, drinking rizq, you lose out with that. There's no barakah in your rizq, there's no blessings in your rizq. You can't fulfill your needs, you run around crying in the dunya. And your ruhani, spiritual rizq, your nourishment, you lose out from that as well. In other words, Allah's ni'mas, He gives us salah, ni'mah of salah, recitation of Qur'an, and the Qur'an connection, and many ni'mas Allah has given to us. I don't feel like doing it. Oh, I don't feel like praying salah. I just ain't got time. How can I recite Quran? Yani, there's no attraction, no passion. Such beautiful parts of the deen Allah has given to us, and we lose that passion. And towards sin, we are influenced and attracted to sin. What's the reason for this? The reason is that we look for excuses. Oh, my shop's not running. My business is not flourishing. Because I didn't buy the right stock, so I couldn't sell the right stock. That's the reason. Or due to this reason, my business is failing or it's not progressing. My children are disobedient for this reason. Look, we're in a bad generation now. It's bad times, you know. And we look for excuses and factors that due to this reason and that reason, and due to this, there's a quarrel. Due to this, there's a fight. And when a bad time comes, distressing, oh, this is the reason, or this is the reason for my bad times. First and foremost, a human being has to analyze. There's no third, second reason. The biggest reason is that Allah is displeased with us. That's it. Such a big statement. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that your rizq, there's no rizq in our homes, our spiritual sustenance, our spiritual nourishment, our children are disobedient, there's no barakah at home, our situation is negative. First thing a man should think, that for example, this hadith teaches us, first thing we need to turn, have you made a mistake? Have you disobeyed Allah somehow? Have you disobeyed Allah somehow? Look, there was a great pious elder, Hazrat Bayezid Bastami Rahmatullahi, whose name everybody is aware of, his name, great rank and status, khair, mashallah, Naqshbandi silsila majlis, this is gathering, and he is our on the fifth generation from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He has such a great connection with the Naqshbandi order, fifth generation, he's on the fifth on the list. For example, up before you, if you read the Shajara, if you recite it, before this was the pious elder, he is Hazrat Jafar Rahmatullah Alayh. Before him was Hazrat Qasim Rahmatullah, before him Hazrat Salman Radiyallahu Anhu, and before that Abu Bakr Sadiq Radiyallahu Anhu, and before that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Shajra, the blessed tree. So he's on the fifth number on the list, and a connection close to the Prophet ﷺ's time, great pious elder, great waliullah. Imagine his maqam, his status, his karamat, his achievements, his statements as a Bayazid Bastami rahmatullah alayhi. Once he went home from the masjid, and when he went inside his home, and with afterwards he said to his wife that, "Can you give me some water, please?" as a person requests normally. And his wife said that, "I'm busy at this moment, you can get up and drink water yourself." Now imagine how common this is nowadays, think about it. As a Bayezid Bastami, suddenly he stopped on that point. And for a while, he stood up and he went straight to the masjid and to his khanqa, where all his murids and students were sat. Went to the masjid, and he wrapped the blanket around him, and he started to get overwhelmed with humbleness and humility and fear. And his murid students were afraid. What's happened to Hazrat, to our teacher? When he stopped crying and he was trembling and his situation improved, then the students came and said, "Hazrat, what's the reason? Is everything okay at home? Is there an issue at home? Is there sickness or problem that so much it's affected you?" And he said, "No, this is not the reason." Then he explained to his murids the reason, that today when I went home and I requested to my wife that give me some water, and 30 years I've lived with my wife and I never saw disobedience from that woman. Extreme Wali Allah's wife, she's mashallah. And he said that, "Until now I'm surprised, for which I am reason I'm upset, that these words that she gave to me in reply, response, that I cannot give you water, I'm busy, you can stand yourself and get the water. How did she say this to me? For what reason?" And this has made me worried. And what was his concern? The reason for this, not for his wife, it's not an issue with his wife. He was worried, he had the fikr that I definitely have committed a sin. That the Rasulullah's hadith mubarakah, blessed hadith, that I have definitely committed a sin, implemented a sin, Allah is unhappy with me, that she has done something disobedient to me, or not responded. So Allah Ta'ala gave inspiration to Hazrat Bayezid, and he understood, needed fikr, that what sin have I committed? And then that sin became apparent. Listen to the sin. It was made apparent to him. These aren't stories and folk tales. This is a lesson for us to think upon. Such a message that we should have fikr and concern, that the journey to the hereafter is not easy, my friends. Was maut, death, the grave is not easy, or it's very cheap bargain and we'll get success with ease, we'll get everything we want. And that standard we made of life now, that through words and our actions will succeed. All of this, everything that we're discussing now, the hadith and the discussion, they're all attached to our deen. Pay attention. Pay attention. And only those people can contemplate and think. Such words are thought about in the khanqa. The khanqa. The company of the awliya Allah, that's when a person's mind turns upside down. Then he goes deep. Analysis, dhikr, adhkar, the heart opens up, unravels. The heart, the chest unravels, fikr for the akhirah. That's when understanding and consciousness come. This is consciousness. This is consciousness of iman. We've buried it today. We don't have dhikr in our life. We don't do adhkar in our life. These fikrs, these concerns are buried, suppressed, disappeared. But when a person wakes up internally, his iman becomes elevated. The light of iman becomes illuminated and strong. Within him he has that passion and desire. Where do you get this from? Sohbat-e Shaykh and Dhikrullah. Company of the teacher and Dhikrullah. Practically I'm telling you this. That after going to the Wali Allah's company, an animal, a human being who's worse than the animal, we are two. I tell you the truth here. I'm telling you clearly. This is the sketch of our life. We are two parts. One is my zahir in front of people, one is my batin inside me. My batin always drags me, pulls me, gives me messages for bad, negative. Such thoughts come and arouse in a person, a muttaqi human being I'm talking about. People attest to his taqwa, but internally such negative and dark thoughts are aroused in the person that invite him to zina, drink alcohol, do this action, do that action. And then those who are weak with him and don't have sohbat of the sheikh, no dhikrullah, no company of the teacher, then practically in the darkness they're going to commit the sins. In isolation. Ajeeb, ajeeb words. I'm hearing things ajeeb in the papers we read. Such things, internet sources nowadays for people. That a person who is a high rank mufti, I don't know his name. And such fahish, immodest words from his mouth. Because obviously it's within. And every insan, remember he has two parts to his life. Two parts to his life. Yes, we have two parts. One is the darkness a person's buried in. To come out of the darkness, he cannot come out of the darkness. Doesn't matter, he's sujood, prostrations, tilawat of the Quran, umrah. He's doing umrah, that person. He's bowing in front of the Kaaba. But inside, he's thinking about women. He's thinking about shahwat, passions. Thousands of people, murids, students, patients who tell their illness. After doing tawaf, they come out and the man says, Hazrat, I don't know what's the issue. My shahwat, my passions, my negative passions, they're not disappearing. My eyes, they're wandering around looking at the females. What's the reason for this? This is not some minor thing that's not present. Inside we have that fitrah, natural trait, but Allah's given us protection against this. Allah's told us the way to save ourselves. And we can be saved from these emotions. Definitely these things happen inside a person. But Allah's given us the methodology that you, the feelings that are within you, a person's shaking, he's forced to do that sin. The feelings are there. The negatives are there. He becomes a thief. He becomes a bandit, a gangster. But externally, people respect him because he's showing his deen. What's the reason? Two parts to our deen. To be saved from the internal negatives, Allah says your solution is sohbat-e sheikh and dhikrullah, subhanallah. Company of the sheikh, dhikrullah. Because brothers, this is not some worldly matter. This is not some common talk. You go to a wali Allah, you have bayah with him, you're learning dhikr. You think this is some custom of the world or tradition of the world? You're doing a favor to somebody? This is a massive protection Allah has given to us. We're rejecting him. When you reject this solution, wallahi, I swear by Allah, no human being can be resolved or improved. Whoever doesn't take this path, this solution, my brothers, I'm telling you, his internal batin can never be cleaned and polished, never. His dahir doesn't matter, whatever he does, amal and worship, but inside, all of the dawah to sin is coming to him. He becomes so weak internally, that person, that he is trembling. He is forced to do the sin. Forced. Pushed. Then he thinks that I'm doing sins. I'm doing externally good deeds. How did I do zina? That I, with my hands, have destroyed my life. Young brothers, young people of youngsters, this is their story. And this is common. People think, oh, he's a peer. Okay, we've gone to the peer. He's a wali Allah. Just ask him to do dua. Oh, servants of Allah, this is a big door of Jannah. Is giving you a solution. That your deen, it will protect your deen. Sohbat and dhikrullah will protect your deen, will protect your Quran, it will protect your hifz, it will protect your imamat, it will protect your taqwa, the hadith, your knowledge. All of these things will be protected. Otherwise, you've gone towards success in the dunya, but internally you are wretched. A normal woman will come to you and she'll deviate you within minutes. She will change the color of your practice. And the dunya will overwhelm you. And khabasat and negatives and wretchedness going inside you. All of these things are present inside a person. And only that time you can control. You can't eliminate them. I tell you this. You cannot eliminate this. Quran tells us this. To this extent, hatta yaqeen, until death doesn't come, you have to continue the fight against negative. Until the last second death, our connection should be existent with our sheikh, with our teacher. This is called tasawwur-e sheikh. This is working hard, making effort, trying. It's not some minor secondary action. I'm telling you about the facts of my life. That alhamdulillah, what I learned. That if today, if I had not met my sheikh, Hazrat Sahib, in my life, subhanallah, then this insan would never be what you see. Insan is worse than an animal, he is off track, wrong direction. Always you are attracted to the wrong direction. And your hand is dhikr, tasbih you're doing. And shaitan's giving you waswasa inside. So here's the hukam. That don't worry about the waswasa of shaitan. Allah has made it easy. Don't worry. Waswasa will continue to come. Don't worry. Shaitan will give you dawah, invitation. Don't leave your tasbih. Continuously your dhikr is being accepted. That you will not just get normal thawab, you'll get more thawab on top of that when you struggle and make effort. But you say, oh yaar, I'm doing dhikr, shaitan's pestering me, I'm thinking about women, females, I'm thinking about alcohol, zina, I forget the dhikr anymore. What's the point of going to Hazrat Sahib? I go to a majlis every day, sit in dhikr every day. Slowly, 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 shaitan extracts him. Hazrat Askalani, Ramtaray, Hakim Ulumat, Hazrat Hakim Ulumat Ramizai said, beware, Allah's giving you a path. Hakim Usalata. That you used to ask Allah for Aqeemu Salah, Allah has given me the mercy that this is the door of Jannah for you. This is the door of Jannah for you. Allah has given to you through this shaykh, this individual. This will be a protection of your deen, and you won't realize how you are being protected, how your passion is being revived and strengthened and controlled. Otherwise you would have committed those sins. Person screams, Allah, I'm finished, I've done this sin. Doesn't a person do that? He laments, he cries. Because he hasn't kept the connection with the solution that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqul laqulu ma sadiqeen. What a great statement Allah said. Qulu ma sadiqeen. You cannot attain taqwa. Allah said this. Hukam. You can't from salah, fasting, from hajj. Taqwa cannot be attained from these things. Taqwa you'll attain only from the chest. Transferred to your chest and your heart. Taqwa. The khalis sincere niyyah, when you work hard, you have to work hard and hard. I tell you, my husband, as long as he was alive, my greatest mujahid and effort and input was not 1 second was I detached from my shirk, whether I'm in this country, doesn't matter. Whenever I realized I made my mission, that not a second or a moment will I be detached from my shirk, because if I'm detached from my teacher, it's Jahannam. Allah's given me the road to paradise. Don't consider it minor. Don't consider it minor. This is a massive, massive connection with the shaykh. We should never leave the assistance and side of the shaykh. Their daman, whatever thoughts come, what's to come, doesn't matter. Allah's wali, his friend. They have mercy, they have concern. Somebody doesn't come, why hasn't my student come? They have no need to ask. But shaitan, he puts more waswasa into the student. Oh, your shaykh has agreed. He wants something from you. He keeps on calling you, inviting you. Maybe he's got less murids now. He's calling you. I swear by Allah. The wali wala, they have no request, no desire for murids or high numbers or a group. I've seen such times. Thousands of people came to dhikr, and I've seen that time 4 or 5 brothers are sat around. There are no difference in between the two. No difference in the feeling. Why? Why should there be? The maqsad, the objective is one. So this path, my brothers, my discussion's gone to a certain off the subject, but maybe Allah wanted us to discuss this. It's a fantastic subject. I wanted to say something else. But Allah, we do what Allah desires. Majlis is Allah's. Yes, we are His guests. We've come here. Allah wants to do Islah. So Allah Ta'ala suppressed my thoughts, and Allah Ta'ala moved my direction of thought to another route. So this was a very important point. I'm thinking about it myself. Many people fall prey to this trap. They don't understand what is tasawwuf. You know, we all sat here, and people say, oh, look at these people, this majlis. What's in this majlis? Zikr che? This zikr jamaat sat here, just zikr all the time. But what's behind this? 70, 80 years ago, such a wali of Allah on this earth, he revived. Allah's rahmah came to the world. Such a man was prepared. Yes, Western he was. Western. And he was away from the right mission. He didn't send a maulvi, he didn't send a mufti or an alim. Rather, in that dirty place, Allah Ta'ala, after preparing a dirty spider, he revived his spiritual fortunes and sent him to that. That's explained from your own language and tongue. What is dhikrullah? Allahu Akbar. Imagine this fantastic scenario. People say, no, he's not mufti, he's mufti sahib, he's a muhaddith, he's come to give tabligh. People understand that. But that person, he's come from this same environment, he's studied here, education here, he's wandered in the streets here, his background's here, he spent Christmases here, and all the different facets of life he saw, and he had a lot of money, and he was colorful life, and a high status family, everything you would want in world, Allah's selection. Allahu Akbar. Allah's selection, nothing can be. Whoever Allah Ta'ala selects, whoever He desires, He selects for His work. So this is Allah's sunnah. In that way, Allah Ta'ala brings that individual that can have an impact. That Allah's, which sin does Allah Ta'ala not, what sin is Allah not aware of? How can a human being say? The question doesn't arise. Allah Ta'ala knows everything. That person who's seen all of those things. So those points, I'm telling you, practical experiences of life, that we have two paths to our life as human beings. And we can only be saved through one route. So I didn't try to save myself from sins, went to masjids, went to speeches, conferences, but nothing affected me positively. Nothing affected positively. But from the heart, when the dua comes out, then Allah gives the solution. When that shriek comes from the depths of the heart in isolation, Allah, I'm fed up of sins. Allah, call me to yourself. I can't see you, I can't find you. Allah, I'm immersed in the dunya, I can't find you. Your name is Allah, send me on such a journey that He sent me to Hazrat Sahib. Subhanallah. Such, from the depths of the heart, when you do dua, Allah accepts. Allah says, look here, that the most closeness, then, who is closest? Is our Rabb, Allah. I say Allah is closer than the jugular vein. Allah says, at least ask from me. Ask from me. I went to a masjid, very old incident, to pray salah, and there was a person sat there, Zohar salah, Asr salah, Maghrib salah, Isha salah, young man, young, youthful, handsome. I said, you're sat here from morning, what are you doing? He said, I've come from another country, this is my hal, I'm very upset. I said, what are you upset about? He said, hey, so many sins. I'm doing this dua to Allah from morning. Allah, please introduce me to such a man, such a place, send me to Allah that I can be saved from the sins and I can save myself. Allahu Akbar, amazing. I took my card out of my pocket. I said, there's a khanka here of a pious person. Go there in the evening. I gave him a card. That man's life changed. I saw it with my eyes. Allah Ta'ala invites, Allah's karam and mercy. He's asking, and Allah Ta'ala prepared for him the solution, the path. But we don't ask, we're afraid of asking. That if we ask, then I have to leave the sins, I'll have to leave TV, I'll have to leave the sins on the phone, and I'll have to leave the vice. No, Allah, give me something so I've got dunya and hereafter, Allah. Such an ajeeb solution. Allah, give me dunya as well and I can get akhirah as well. No, don't go to this man, he's too strict. He'll make you leave the dunya. People say this, that they'll remove the attraction of the dunya from your life. But this is what gives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is. Yes, so that you have to leave the two ways, the two opposites. If you want Allah, then you have to implement one path. Sibqatullah, put the color of Allah into your life. And the rest, take out of your life. Leave the two opposite paths, two-faced. So if somebody gets the path like this, then he should stick to that, adhere to that. It's the greatest path that will take you. So the hadith I was mentioning to you earlier, this was it, that when you leave the sins, two solutions, sobat of the shaykh and zikrullah, no other way. If you take all of these two solutions, whatever, however shaitan's pestering you, stick to the path. Don't leave the path. Stick to the path. Don't leave it. Musa alayhi salam, where he saw the dream, and after many days, he saw the interpretation of that dream, and he said that this was the dream that today I'm seeing the interpretation. Yunus alayhi salam. He was sent into the darkness. Great Nabi, great Prophet, into the stomach of the whale. And he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. And then he came out, he was the Nabi. But how many days it took, he recited the dua in that darkness. Look at the incident. Why did Allah show us these examples? Why did He illustrate this to us? He said, don't be in a rush. Don't be in a rush. Who you are asking from? Allah, He is not miserly, stingy in giving. He will give to you with His hikmah, with His wisdom. Don't force the issue. Is there anything lacking in Allah's treasure chest? So ask for hidayah. Allah will not give you hidayah. Ask from an honest, true heart. Allah, please, the person whose company I'm sat in, Allah, make me like him. Allah will make you like him. The color will affect him. This is قُلُوا مَا الصَّادِقِينَ. That when you go to the company of Wali Allah, say, Allah, just like this Wali Allah is, Allah, allow his effect to overwhelm me, to affect me. But no, don't be too strict. Don't go to his gathering. He'll make you leave these things. Then can you succeed? There, nothing can you succeed even in this life if you have this thinking. Shaitan will continue to trick you and he'll make our dirty deen strong. He'll make your dirty desire strong. He'll continue to do shirk. This is shirk. He'll keep on making you worship idols. The idols inside you, you'll continue to worship them. So, the sins I was telling you, so Allah Ta'ala opened the heart. What were the sins? I told you, big sins, He makes them minor, insignificant. So Bayezid Bastamiram, imagine what sin he committed, that he was given that punishment. Imagine, he said, the sin came in front of me. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. and listen to the sin. He said, the sin came in front of me that I got such a big punishment that I couldn't even imagine. What was the sin? He said, today when I left the masjid in the morning, was shaitan, subhanAllah. Remember, doesn't matter how great wali it is, shaitan's mission continues. And remember one point, always remember this, that we think that the wali of Allah, that they are free from any worries, they have no issues. Most of all, the fikr, the worry, the distress, whoever has the most distress, he is the biggest wali of Allah. The wali's biggest sign of a wali Allah is most of all he fears, most of all he fears. Today in that village, if there's a wali of Allah sat, the azab comes there, he will say, it's due to me this azab has come, the wali of Allah will say. He will take the blame on his head that I am the big sinner. No, he is a sinner. Or he's a sinner. Or it wasn't me, it was him. He didn't do this. No, the wali Allah is so afraid. The wali Allah is so scared. And during that night he cries due to himself. Even if there are hundreds of thousands of students, he has murids. But this is the status and the sign of the wali Allah. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, look at his great example. Look at his great personal example. Think about him. Every gathering, 70 times, 100 times, he'd recite istighfar, then leave that gathering. What was this? Tell me, what was this factor? As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha said, that the Prophet ﷺ, you are forgiven. What's happened to you? Why do you cry so humbly and the ground is full of your tears? SubhanAllah, the more a person is closer to Allah, remember this point and confirm, and you should write down this point and confirm this point. MashaAllah, you are with me, you are thousands of times better than me, you have great status. I am just an impure spider. But think on this point very much so, that when me and you do tasbih, we do dhikrullah, company of the shaykh, then what change and improvement should come into us? The fear of Allah should come into us. How much fear of Allah is coming to me? The more the fear of Allah comes, the more you will have the signs of walaya, friendship of Allah. Remember, walayat Allah doesn't show here, the maqams, the levels, the stages Allah won't show you here, the darajat won't be shown. I swear by Allah, when we will go into the grave, at that time you'll be shocked and surprised. Allah, this was the maqam and status you gave me in the world? This was my level, my darajat. And when you will be received, subhanAllah, the person will be surprised. These were my maqams and my status. This was my level. Allahu Akbar. What's the sign of this? There is no sign of kashf, the inspiration, not maqam, not hifz, not qirat, none of these, no title, no hazrat. There's no sign of closeness to Allah. What's the sign? Is that person is extremely fearful of Allah, subhanallah. Yes, if someone says bad to him, then all night long he'll cry, the Allah made a big mistake. That how comes I said bad to this person? How did I consume the rights of this person? How did I commit excess with my wife today? To this extent, even to his children. He said that, why did I slap the child and explain? Could I not explain another way? He has the fear of Allah so much inside him that every action he starts to shake and tremble. Allah, please don't send me azab for this. So as a Bayezid Bastami, such a great personality, such a great personality, they stated that he's in the silsila of the Prophet ﷺ. He's given fares and blessings to all of the dunya. His fares is spreading around the world. As a Bayezid Bastami, rahmatullah, imagine his status. So what did he say? He said, oh, what happened with me is that in the morning when I left, then the mistake that I made, and look at this analysis, great walis of Allah, what happens? He said, the mistake that I made was that today I did not put the shoes on according to the sunnah. Allahu Akbar, Allah has made this apparent to me. What's the tariq of the sunnah? To wear the shoes, brothers. When you leave the masjid, which foot should leave the masjid first? So listen to this clearly. Which foot should leave the masjid first? Yes? When you depart the masjid, which foot should leave the masjid first? The left foot. And when you wear the shoes, you wear the shoes first with which foot? With? So what should be the tariq when you come into the masjid? Then the masjid I'm leaving, so when I wear the shoes, which foot goes first in the shoes, what do? Straight away we do what? Yes, with the right foot. And then what foot has come out first? Tell me. Sufis. So what do we do? What's the sunnah? So listen to the sunnah, that you leave the masjid with the left foot. And where did I learn this tariqa? From my sheikh, from my teacher, from the khanka, not kitab. Hazrat Sahib used to wear like this. Hazrat, when he would leave the masjid, and mashallah, the khadims will put the shoes down straight away. His assistant, I was there as well, alhamdulillah. So when the shoes were put outside the masjid, so what happens? First of all, you leave the masjid with the left foot. So the left foot, you leave the masjid with the left foot, and you put that left foot on top of the shoe. Yes? And then the right foot goes into the shoe. Then after that, then your left foot goes into the shoe. SubhanAllah, this is the method. You understand the tariqah? This is the tariqah, the method. Leave the masjid with the left foot goes on top of the shoe, right foot goes into the shoe, then left foot. But shaitan, he said for some reason he was a great shaykh, Allah Ta'ala illustrated to him this example. If the hukam came from Allah, the inspiration came to him, the sign that Bayezid, today you rejected the itaat obedience to my Nabi, my beloved Nabi, so I have made your wife disobey you and she's disobedient to you. Allahu Akbar. He said, this is the effect of the sin on the human being. Immediately the wife became disobedient. And we, with regards to Allah and Rasulullah, is the ta'at, the obedience we see ourselves. And imagine the extent of disobedience in our lives. Deen is the same. We are human beings like this. Our Qur'an's like this. The deen is the same. The Qur'an's the same. The sunnah's the same. Nothing can change. Nothing is different. The deen is the same. We see ourselves today, which doors are open for us today. And we don't work hard, we don't make effort, and we don't sit with the good people where we can learn these principles of the deen. And today, it's just a color. Different colors, different ways, different messages. Is this the deen, we say? Wearing the shoes in this way. Look at the importance of deen in our lives. Look at the importance of sunnah in our lives. To reject one sunnah, his wife became disobedient. And those people who reject the sunnah all their lives long, then who will be obedient to him? His children, his wife, his offspring, home, relatives? No. You know, it's a burnt down individual, like a village that's burnt down. We are burnt down individuals. Nothing to our name. Who is there to listen to us, to know us? Angels, apart from shaitan and jinn, nobody is our friend. Nobody in our life. Where's the sunnah in our lives? Nowhere. Another event of a pious elder, I remember. His name was Abdul Ahad bin Zayd, rahmatullah alayh. Great state, just like Hazrat Bayezid Bastami, same status amongst the Qabirin. Great shaykh. Suddenly he's coming to my mind, I'd like to share with you. And he was a unique shaykh, many karamat, miracles, high status, you'll know his, be aware of him. So ajib, unique dua he did. You know the pious elders, they have a style. As I said to you, every person has a quality, a uniqueness. He has desires within him. What's the dua? He said, Allah, when he did dua, Mujahida, he worked hard. He said, I'd like to make a request to you, Allah. The Wali Allah is saying to his Rabb, imagine his dua. This should be the connection, you know, so you can clean yourself and so that Allah can come close to you. What was his desire? He said, Allah, that woman showed to me which woman will be with me in paradise. SubhanAllah, he had a desire. He said, which woman will be with me in paradise as my partner? Can I see her, Allah? Allah Ta'ala said, yes, you can see her. In Kufa, there's a woman, her name is Maimuna Sauda. Habshi, she's Habshi. She's black in color, totally black. She's poor. And in that place, her name is Maimuna Sauda. She is your partner of paradise. If you want to see her, go and see her. Allah's friendship, look how Allah opens the doors and shows the route, SubhanAllah. And everyone can become a friend of Allah's like this. Everybody, that's why we've come here. We can all be walis of Allah. That's why we've come here. Let's see how much fear of Allah is there in my heart. How much my hand trembles when I commit a sin. When I say bad to someone. How much fear is inside me after I do dhikr. We should think about this. Analyze this. Either we're that or we're munafiqs and we've come into this silsila order for wasting time. We don't want to make effort. We don't have need of working hard, making effort. I don't know what dramas are running around inside me. Only two things. Either I'm playing games. If I'm not playing games and it's real, then look, assess how much fear. Because we've come here to develop fear of Allah. Dhikrullah is the path to develop fear of Allah. So he made this dua, Allah, please show me that woman who is my partner in paradise. I'd like to see, who is she? So Allah said, go see. So such a great wali, Allah, and his wife is who? Habshi, black, poor, and nothing to her name. Her hal is down in the world. And he said, oh, I'm gone. And her name, Maimuna, go and see her. Imagine how beautiful she must be, he thought. He arrived there and he went to Kufa in a village. She's there. He went there on the safar, went to see her, bidhnillah, with Allah's permission. When he arrived to the village, he said, Maimuna saw there's a woman here, and he thought she must be very beautiful and elegant because she is the wife of the wali, and Jannah should be. They said, yeah, there is a woman. She's a poor, downtrodden. She has a few goats there. She must have gone out to herd her goats in the desert outside. She doesn't come to the town much. He said, is it? So he arrived and he saw that there was a river there or a stream. And she was there, sat on the bank, and her goats were sat or near her. And there was also wolves near there, nearby. They were there as well. And the wolves and the goats, and they're sitting together, drinking water together, grazing together. And he said, are you Maimuna Sauda Habshi? She said, yes, that's me. That's me. But you, why have you come here to me? Me and you were to meet in the Akhirah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. He said, how have you come in advance? Tell me. He said, I've come for this reason. Whoever informed you has also sent me. Allahu Akbar. He said, otherwise I wouldn't come. I was sent to go and see your wife to be in the future. She said, go, be gone with you. Me and you are to meet in the Akhirah. There you can see me if you want to see me. Look towards me then. All the whores will be ashamed and be modest in front of me, because the taqwa is made apparent in the hereafter. For marriage, we look for beautiful women, beauty. Look for the woman of Iman, even if she's dark and black. Subhanallah, I say subhanallah. If you want to find a wife, don't look for beauty apparent. Look for the beauty within, taqwa, taqwa in the wife. Yes, in the dunya. Don't look at titles of the world. Look for taqwa in the wife. She's this, she's that, she's a scene, beautiful, she's handsome, elegant. No, the greatest trait in the wife, when you're searching for the partner, look how much fear of Allah she got, how much taqwa, even if she's ugly, but make her your wife. Subhanallah. So, subhanallah, she said, we will meet in the hereafter. Why have you come here to look at me? He said, yes, you are right. He said, okay, I'll depart. But one question I'd like to make to you. She said, yes, what's that question? Make the question, then be gone. And if you want to see Husain, look in the hereafter. I am your wife, but we will meet, then you'll see me in the hereafter. The question, what's your question? Quickly ask the question. He said, the question I want to put to you is, what's this I'm seeing here? That these are your goats and these are wolves next to your goats. Wolf never leaves the goats. How comes they're friends together and they're living up together and they're meeting together and they're grazing together, drinking water together? What's the secret behind this? She said, ah, yes, I'll tell you. She said, there's only one secret behind this success. That whenever I asked from Allah, then when I made friendship with my Rabb, then Allah made friendship between my goats and the wolves. Subhanallah. My brothers, this is the greatest secret behind success, that we should make friendship with Allah, a pact with Allah, sulah with Allah. We should make up with Allah, make the bond with Allah. Yes, that, how do we do that? Allah is upset with us due to our sins. It's not some small displeasure. Inside, the desires will come, but don't implement those desires, control those desires. And use the root, dhikrullah and sohbat the sheikh. Connection with the teacher, dhikrullah. Grab hold of that with firmness. The more negative thoughts come, go run to your sheikh. And do tasawwur-e sheikh. Think about your teacher. Implement the words of your sheikh. And the negative thoughts will come, sins will come. But that will become goal for you if you run to the solution. Allah has given you the path, the solution. An ajeeb, unique point this we need to think here. What a beautiful path Allah has given to us, Islam. Islah He's given to us, rectification. Okay, fine. Sins are committed, you've done wrong, you've lied, you've done something wrong, said something wrong, and you're shaking, trembling. You should shake and tremble. When you say something wrong, immediately you should regret, how comes I did this? And the easy way to compensate for that, so easy, subhanAllah, you become clean and polished, immediately do istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll be polished and clean straight away. Immediately do istighfar. Allah, forgive me. Allah, I looked at this girl. Allah, forgive me. Everything negative was within me. The wrong was within me. Now you're controlling. That jazba, the passion, the wrong passion that comes, nothing wrong with that. That's within us naturally. But the enjoyable thing is that you control this. You suppress this. Allah's given us a chance now. Either you can get the high status of paradise right now, just from that controlling of the sin. Control the sin. And where does the power of controlling sin come from? From the company of the Shaykh, subhanAllah. That's where you'll get from. Immediately, tasawwur-e Shaykh. Focus your thoughts on your Shaykh. And you see the face of your Shaykh is beautiful, or the face of this woman is beautiful. Immediately you'll dislike that sin. And I cannot put the face of my Shaykh to the back. I cannot look at this sin. Say istighfar 3 times. And then shaitan is fed up.
Shaitan, he has power, but he melts. When you have the company of the shaykh, then he puts small whispering into you. He says, oh, he's become so strong, stronger than me now. Shaitan knows. So this is my request to you, is that sin is a big thing, a big force, and sin has an effect, for sure. For sure. But there's nothing that can destroy you. All destruction and loss, there's a root cause for this. The hadith tell us this, is the reason for that is that we committed a sin, and the effect of the sin is our children are disobedient, or pain's coming to us. Whatever wrongs happen in our life, there's a root cause for that. A reason is the sin. Immediately seek that sin, find it, and go to your Rabb, do istighfar. Allah, I've committed this sin. Allah, I seek forgiveness. Inshallah, give me the power, Allah. Give me the power. Allah, you are powerful. I am your servant. Allah, forgive me. Inshallah, I won't commit this sin again. Allah say, go, I forgive you. You are clean just like you were before. Pure. May Allah Ta'ala give to all of us the tawfiq, the ability. Ameen. Recite the Rushi.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين طه وياسين الحبيب المبين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وزوجه وأمهات المؤمنين وذريته وآل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطبنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك الرحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا عزيز يا غفار يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأومتنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم 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 اللهم استعبدنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا بزمرته يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا اشفى مرادنا اشفى مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري اللهم عافنا في قلبي ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا فاللهم دبرهم هما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم دبرهم هما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم دبرهم هما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الاحياء منهم والاموات برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب